Nice to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. We're going to take up hybrid engine and other alternative vehicle technologies today on the program because of, for one reason, Hybrid Fest. And we'll be talking about it with three guests. Eric Powers, president of Hybrid Fest. It takes place Saturday and Sunday, July 21st and 22nd, as part of the Dane County Fair at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. They've got a website. We'll ask him about that coming up. Eric, nice to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Larry.
John Dolan with us as well, with me in the studio, hybrid expert at Spartan Motors, a Toyota dealership in Madison. And John, pleasure to have you back.
It's great to be here.
And with us by phone today, Chris Schneider, president of Honda Motor Works of La Crosse. And Chris, how you doing?
Great, Larry. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to have you all with us. Eric, let me turn to you first. What are some of the activities and educational opportunities that we're going to be able to have fun with this weekend at Hybrid Fest?
Well, of course, we'll have all sorts of different speakers available for you, for the public to take in on all sorts of environmental and climate topics. We also have speakers talking about everything from hybrid myths to how to get better gas mileage in any sort of car that you drive. We'll also have displays from some of our sponsors. GM will have some of their hybrid and flex fuel vehicles there, as well as Ford and Mercury will have those. Toyota is bringing a really large display called the Highway to the Future, which is a great interactive exhibit. And maybe you know more about that.
John Dolan, maybe you can talk a little about that.
Yeah, from all of us who are involved with Toyota, we think this is probably going to be the most interesting part of Hybrid Fest. The Mobile Hybrid Experience is a 53-foot-long semi-trailer that's traveled around to 150 different events this year and is stopping off this weekend at Hybrid Fest. It's designed to provide visitors with a first-hand look at Hybrid Synergy Drive and how it works. There are four distinct interactive learning sites within the exhibit. One of the sites is titled Alternative Fuels, Fueling the Future, and it identifies the differences in various types of alternative fuels and how they're being produced. Another part, Environment and Resources, Small Steps, Big Differences, shows attendees how they can make a difference in the environment, and they can also find out how much carbon their current car emits with a carbon footprint calculator. Another section of the trailer is the Prius driving experience. It simulates the current hybrid Synergy Drive technology, and it allows visitors to interact with systems while on-screen instructions show them how to get better driving tips. And they can also calculate how much money can be saved driving a hybrid. And finally, the last section of the trailer is hybrid technology. Not all hybrids are created equal. This exhibit gives visitors a better understanding of the various hybrid technology options on the market right now and the benefits to the consumer and the environment of each one of them.
And there's actually even a website that you can go to on that particular. Do you know offhand what that website is? Maybe
I
you
do.
Don't have it right. Oh, yeah, have you got it, Eric?
Yeah, it's highwaytothefuture.com.
Highwaytothefuture.com. Okay. And Chris Schneider, you're going to be at Hybrid Fest as well.
Absolutely. We will be talking about many of those issues about gas mileage and hybrid myths, but we're also going to be talking about some of the other alternative fuels that were mentioned in your introduction, like diesel and Honda's upcoming Ultra Clean Diesel. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about compressed natural gas, hydrogen-powered fuel cells, and, of course, the reason that we think this is important to talk about is that by coupling them with electric motors and making them a hybrid gas-electric, whether that's compressed natural gas or diesel, the benefits are very substantial, and we look forward to communicating to a lot of people at Hybrid Fest and having fun doing it.
It sounds great. I should mention next week, I think it's Tuesday, isn't it, Jim? We'll be talking about alternative fuel sources as well. The University of Wisconsin just got a $125 million grant to study that. And so we'll be talking about that with the Dean of the College of Ag and Life Sciences, Molly John, and Tim Donahue is the biochemist, who's the bacteriologist, who's the major person on that. We have callers online already, and I want to give the number. I haven't given it yet, so let me do that right now. It's 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or in the Madison area, Reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. And we might as well, Jim's been waiting a little while already, so let's go to Jim in Menasha, see what's on his mind. Hi, Jim.
Larry, I'd like to know when we can expect to see the next generation of Toyota hybrid and what improvements that we might anticipate in seeing in it. And a second question is regards conversions. I know that there are people, particularly in California, that have converted their Priuses to run more frequently on the electric motor. I know that that voids warranties. My Prius is already out of warranty, so I don't have that problem. But I'd like to know if there's any downside that the car experiences if you do make that sort of conversion to run more frequently on the electric motor.
Well, thank you. Let me answer the first part of your question. The next generation Prius, which is going to be called THS3, the third generation of Toyota hybrid system, should be out late 08 as an 09 model. It's going to be completely redesigned from a sheet metal standpoint to a technology standpoint. The next generation batteries will be lithium ion and a slightly more powerful motor, electric motor. That's been the whole evolution of hybrid synergy drive to give you longer, what they call AER, all electric range. Basically, we're looking at probably the end of 08 as an 09 model for that car. It's expected to give you about 9 to 10 miles a day. That's the scuttlebutt on the websites anyway, of electric-only use.
And I guess your second part of your question, this is Eric Powers talking, was about the hybrid conversions and is there a downside? And I guess I don't know much about the downsides of it, but I can tell you that Hybrid Fest will have actually 9 different plug-in electric hybrids there. That have additional battery and capacity range. They're actually even going to do a conversion of a Prius to turn into a plug-in electric hybrid on Sunday.
Oh.
And so I'm certain that down there, there's going to be someone who would be there to probably talk with you in more detail, more than we can get on just a radio program like this today.
Hmm.
You did mention in your question about downsides to plug-in hybrids.
Yeah.
I would just give you, since you are a Prius owner, Toyota's corporate view on that. They just feel that to achieve the acceleration and highway speeds and hill climbing abilities that most motorists demand from a system that has longer electric only, you'd need a more powerful battery, more powerful electric motor, and all the related electronics would be a little bit more expensive or not practical to produce. And the main reason that Toyota is taking a stand on this right now is because of the fact that it would not only not be commercially practical, but also it wouldn't be reliable to be warranted as long as a current day Prius, which is up to 10 years and 150,000 miles in California.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Jim, for calling. Appreciate it. Chris, Honda's doing some reworking as well, are they not, on their hybrids?
Yes. In late 08 as an 09 model, we should have a full hybrid vehicle that will not necessarily be a replacement for the Honda Insight, since they're calling it a family car, which mm-hmm. will mean it will have more seating than the two-passenger Insight. But it is in the mode of the Insight in that it will be produced only as a hybrid vehicle, as opposed to our Civic and Accords that have been produced as both a hybrid and a non-hybrid version. So we're looking forward to that a great deal. At that same time, Honda will be introducing a fuel cell vehicle, the FCX, and then also an ultra-clean diesel that will be coming from Europe.
So all that coming the end of 08?
As an 09 model, yes.
As an 09 model.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to David in San Francisco next. David, hi to you. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, morning. I am interested in the bad economics of centralizing everything that happens and seeing how transport is getting caught up in this as well. You know, obviously we have various things like the telephone and the electricity and other aspects of our lives are being controlled from smaller and smaller sources, sometimes down to a single monopoly. Now we're looking at if someone wants to move a handful of boxes across town, they've got to pay money that's going to get sucked out of town in order to get that done. So I'd like to get some information about how local communities can control the costs of their transportation locally instead of having to pay major corporations for the ability to do it.
Oh, that's a big question.
It is. Unfortunately, the problems of fuel-efficient and emissions-free transportation is a very huge problem and complex problem, and it requires a lot of corporate and government agencies working together and individuals. If you look at the people who are working on plug-in hybrids right now, a lot of them are, for want of a better term, backyard mechanics and entrepreneurs that are coming up with these inventions themselves. And this has always been a great wellspring of creation, is the people who turn to inventions on their own to improve situations like this.
Yeah, Chris, comment from you?
I think that when we talk about bad economics, we have to look at our dependency on foreign oil right now. And most anything that we can do to shift away from that dependency and actually shipping our money outside of our country is the greatest thing that we can do. And that's where hybrid technology is leading us. Certainly, the complexity of the challenges ahead are going to require a lot of different solutions. And the more solutions that are available, the more likely that individual monopolies, like David is suggesting, would be able to control the entire marketplace. So diversity is part of the key there. So we look forward to having diversity in the solutions in the transportation industry.
And just to add something, I know many communities or municipalities are going to the hybrid technologies, and states as well, in terms of their own transportation needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're starting to move to neighborhood electric vehicles
exactly. As
well.
Yeah, and that's a great solution, Chris.
We've been very proud to help a number of communities around the state of Wisconsin move towards neighborhood electric vehicles in some of their communities.
Thanks, David. Appreciate the call. Dennis in Janesville, your turn. Hi, Dennis.
Thank you for taking my call. You know, 10 years ago, I would have been excited about this. There's a new motor out, Dynacam.com, Axle Vector Corporation. It's basically a Wankel on steroids. It puts out 3 times the amount of torque of a standard gasoline or diesel engine, and it consumes 35% less fuel. It can also switch to 7 different fuels on the fly without any adjustment. You know, not to rain on your parade, but it's time to seriously get behind this, because the sad part is the history of this nation is all bad economics. We should have had monorail in this country, you know, 2 years after Walt Disney did it. This is ludicrous.
Well, let's get a comment from Eric Powers. Eric?
Yeah, I must say I don't know much about that particular technology, but certainly if it's something that's new or something that's out there, you know, we certainly would like to have them in the future, maybe at a Hybrid Fest for people to talk about. So we'd love to hear from that particular company as well.
Yep. And Chris, you wanted to make a comment?
Well, my family has been involved in the Mazda business for many, many decades, and the Wankel engine had been with them. And there were some challenges, and there's ways to make it better. And we certainly need to see that happen. I guess my biggest response to that would be to say, you know, Dennis is saying, well, he's not very excited about hybrids because he is looking into the future, and that's always important to do. The problem is that the marketplace will not produce the vehicles of the future unless they make a return on their investment in the vehicles of today. And that's why it's important that people come to the Hybrid Fest and see the alternatives that are here today, so that they can send the message with their pocketbook and vote and say, I'm willing to invest in technologies that are available today that lead the manufacturers and the government and the community to looking at future solutions. So we're very open to seeing future solutions, and I know there'll be a number of them that will be there at the Hybrid Fest being discussed. So I'd like to invite Dennis to stop at the Hybrid Fest and bring his ideas to the table.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot for calling, Dennis. Appreciate your call. talking hybrids today and Hybrid Fest with Eric Powers, who's president of Hybrid Fest. It'll be this Saturday and Sunday at the Dane County Fair, as a matter of fact, at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. John Dolan of Smart Motors Toyota dealership and Chris Schneider, president of Honda Motorworks of La Crosse. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking hybrids today with Eric Powers, president of Hybrid Fest, John Dolan of Toyota, and Chris Schneider of Honda Motorworks La Crosse. Glad to have you listening in. We'll go right back to the phones and Betty in Wausau next. Betty, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I have a question about retrofitting. Okay. I have a good car, and I did hear a program, two fellows on a long time ago said they could retrofit any car. I also have a question. Recently, one program on car problems was on, and a young woman called up from West Dallas, and she said there are many people in her area retrofitting their cars. I'm asking if that's possible, and you're driving such a car, is it illegal? Is it possible to do that? And is it also something that would be frowned upon?
Now, do you mean by retrofitting your car with to run on batteries and gas?
Yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Just retrofitting to something like you're talking about. Is that possible to do that with an ordinary car?
Okay.
There's a number of different retrofittings that can be done. You could retrofit a hybrid to be a plug-in. You could retrofit a diesel to run on vegetable oil. As long as the company doing the retrofitting is certified with the EPA, wouldn't think there'd be a problem. Of course, there's always a problem of cost and practicality.
Yeah. Chris, a comment from you?
I am unaware of any operation that is out in this country yet that is putting electric motors to supplement internal combustion engines retrofitting. But there are retrofitters, as John mentioned, that will do plug-in hybrids, biodiesel. There are people who will also make your vehicle buy fuel and that it will run on gasoline or compressed natural gas, either. So there are certainly retrofitters, but none that I'm aware of that are putting electric motors and making them gas-electric hybrids. Eric, are you aware of anyone?
I'm not aware of anyone doing that, but I did want to mention also, of course, there are people who in places that certainly would convert your gas engine, take that out and put in electric motors instead. But no, not anyone adding it to make it so it is a hybrid.
Yeah.
Probably the least expensive form of retrofitting would be to convert a car to burn E85.
Right.
That's the approach that General Motors has taken these days. I understand it only costs $400 per car for the manufacturer to do it, and probably wouldn't be as cost prohibitive as retrofitting a Prius to be a plug-in.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for calling, Betty. Appreciate it. Mike in Lone Rock, your turn. Hi, Mike.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Has anyone seen the Popular Mechanics issue a couple of months ago on driving on thin air? It's about MDIs out of Luxembourg bringing out an air-powered vehicle. They're going to sell 6,000 of them to India for their taxi cab service.
So running on compressed air.
Compressed air
to get about 125 miles on a fill-up, and it costs about $2 to fill it up at a filling station. Otherwise, you can fill it up in 4 hours at your house.
Hmm. Yeah, and this is Eric again. I guess I haven't seen the article. I've read sort of topical, the headlines from it, but I know it isn't here in the U.S. at this point.
Well, it says in the article, and I don't have it that handy, that they will not sell it in the United States, or they won't be able to sell it in the United States.
Right.
They're going to be selling it to 12 countries. But I wonder why not in the United States.
I think just from reading the headlines, didn't that have to do with something with the safety piece of it? I don't remember it being a very large vehicle, and it was much lighter weight, if I recall the article correctly.
Place car.
Sorry?
It's a six-place car. Six people can sit in it.
Oh. Well, that's when you've got us. Chris, maybe you have anything.
I did some online researching on the air car, and it is a safety issue, the reason that they're choosing not to bring it into the country, as is the issue with many fuel-efficient vehicles that are outside of this country and produced. In Japan last year, one-third of all new car buyers bought a car with an engine of 660 cc's or less.
Wow.
When the Honda Insight was available, it had a 1,000cc engine, and with the electric assist, it ran like a 1,500cc. So there's lots of efficient solutions that are produced outside of this country, but they don't have the stringent EPA and DOT safety challenges that our manufacturers do. And part of that is the marketplace, and it would be really nice to see more people who are sending that signal to the manufacturers that lighter, more fuel-efficient, and environmentally sensitive cars are important for our future, and by investing in them today, then the company in India can look at a marketplace like America and say, if we have to spend this many $1,000s putting in airbags, then can we have a return on our investment? If they could see that now, they would be bringing it here now, but they don't see that now.
Yeah.
But Chris, I just wanted to double check. You said 1,000cc and 1,500cc. I think for some of our listeners, converting that to horsepower, that's about 76, 86 horsepower was the Insight, and this is much less than that?
In most cases, it is, yes.
I think 76 horsepower, boy, and we're talking two-thirds of that. Mm-hmm. That'd be pretty tricky.
Yeah,
especially with American driving habits and conditions, a smaller vehicle like that or a smaller powered vehicle like that would not meet the hill climbing and acceleration requirements of the type of roads that we have in the U.S. It may work fine in India, but superhighways and that, you could probably forget it.
Well, we like to think about Americans changing their thinking on how they drive, and I know that the driving tips is part of that, but, thinking about taking a trip, with the money that you save driving a hybrid in a couple of months, you can afford to buy a rental vehicle for that two-week period that you're going to go do the Rockies and get that gas guzzler for those 2 weeks of your life, and the rest of the year save money and the environment by having a car that does what you need it to do most of the year.
Or you could buy a Camry hybrid and still get 40 miles per gallon on the highway.
Nice one, John.
Oh, all right. Well, thanks, Mike. Tom and Valder's your turn. Hi, Tom.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a friend at work that is driving a four-cylinder with a Audi, I think it is. He's getting like 29 miles to the gallon. I'm just baffled because I drive a very old technology vehicle. I've got a V8 rear-wheel drive, six-passenger car. I do a lot of highway driving. And I get a minimum of 24. I took it on a trip recently. I got 26 miles to the gallon, and which I think is fantastic for a bigger car like this. And yet my wife's car has got a six-cylinder, and like this other guy at work has got a four-cylinder, and they're getting 29. These hybrids, from what I'm seeing in the sticker, is they're getting in the 40s, and it's less than half the car that I'm driving. And I'm just that's one comment. The question I might have is, since I do a lot of highway driving, is there certain hybrids that would be better on the freeways than the ones that 'cause I do very little city driving? Is there one that would be better, or a technology that would be better than others on that?
I guess
Eric, we'll turn to you first.
Yeah, I would say I don't know if one would be better on the highway than the other. It depends a lot on, it's interstate and those kind of things. I know at Hybrid Fest, we'll certainly have people that can talk to you sort of what might be appropriate for your needs. I mean, my needs, I drive a little two-seat Honda Insight in from Sauk City to downtown Madison every day. But my other vehicle is a minivan, because that's what I need for the rest of my life. And, it's Highway 12, four-lane highway. It's a 55-mile-an-hour highway. Today, coming in, I got just under 100 miles per gallon. And, that fits my needs for my commuting. I'm not sure what else you might need.
Well, let's get comments from Chris first. Let's go to you.
Well, I'd like to congratulate Tom on his driving techniques. Yeah. I mean, clearly he is a man who understands the pedal. And what I would like to say, Tom, is that if you drove your friend's Audi the way that you do your V8 or even your wife's six-cylinder, I think you would find that you would be doing better than they do. last night during our green drinks meeting here in La Crosse, we had a gentleman who also drives a Honda Insight like Eric and myself, and he's charted out his last 8 weeks of ownership, and he's gone from being driving in the on the average in the upper 50s into the low 70s now, using not using hypermiling techniques. So, you know, what we see is there's a learning curve, and so look at the EPA ratings and say to yourself, what was my V8 EPA rated at? If I'm capable of getting 24 miles per gallon or, say, 20% better than the EPA, then look at 20% better than the EPA ratings and say that you could be capable of getting that in a hybrid, and then sit down and do the math, and it makes a huge difference. I've got a chart in front of me that is comparing 21.65 miles per gallon versus a Civic Hybrid at 48, which is not even the EPA rating. The EPA ratings are higher than that. And gas at $3.30 a gallon. If gas goes up only 10% per year, if you drive 30,000 miles a year, you could save $40,000 in gasoline over the next 10 years.
About $4,000 a year.
Exactly. $4,000 a year.
That more than makes up for any so-called hybrid penalty of buying a hybrid or the extra cost of the technology.
That's for sure. Yeah. Thanks, Tom.
I guess my only scenario is that the EP ratings that are on these vehicles always give a higher EPA rating for city driving than they do highway driving, and I do 90-95% highway driving.
The Hondas do have a higher rating on the highway than they do in town, Tom. But you should investigate at Hybrid Fest. You know, come there and take a look at what the highway ratings are. And, you know, Eric, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's going to be hybrids there that can be driven.
Yep, there will be test drives that Toyota's providing. And plus, there'll be if you come on Saturday, there'll be lots of owners out there displaying their own cars. We even have sort of an owner of the hour designated, so for sure you'll find someone to talk to, although you'll find that all these owners love to talk about their cars. And you can ask them, you know, real-world mileage, you know, what are you doing? How does this work? And you know, be able to talk to them, as well as then going inside the exhibit hall and talking to the manufacturer. So you'll get sort of all sides of the story.
Now, one fuel economy hybrid driving specialist is Wayne Gertie. So he was,
yes,
he's quite an interesting guy. He still refers to the Prius as a real world 50 mile per gallon car.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And he'll be
without
there.
Using Pulse and Glide.
Yeah, he really, again, I think, Tom, just like you're doing with your driving techniques, I mean, clearly you're someone who does not, you know, jackrabbit start. You're not someone who is, you know, running up to every red light, things like that. I mean, you're, you know, 50%, you know, 80% of the way there already.
Thanks a lot for calling, Tom. Appreciate it. Steve in Park Ridge, Illinois, it's your turn next. Hi, Steve.
Hi, good morning. I just want to say that you guys at Wisconsin Public Radio do a great job.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Anecdotally, I have one relative that drives an 04 Jetta diesel, and they're reporting 50 miles to the gallon.
Sure.
And then I have another relative that has an 07 Prius, and they're reporting similar numbers. And I'm wondering if there's any talk about combining the highway technology of a diesel with the inner city technology of the Prius. I understand the Prius gets better mileage in town, and that diesel seems to get great mileage out of town.
Yeah, the Prius does better in the city, of course, because of its electric-only range. Toyota's actually working on many different solutions. Like we're talking about diverse solutions earlier. Toyota realizes this, too. They're looking at diesel hybrids. They're looking at natural gas hybrids. They're even looking at ethanol hybrids. Everything's on the table for study right now.
Yeah. Chris, anything from Honda?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, Steve, the Ultra Clean Diesel is coming from Europe, and I will have some wonderful data about those engines that are in Europe. They offer it in the Accord and the CRV and another vehicle in Europe, and the mileage information that the UK is providing I have. I don't see that we'll have a diesel-electric hybrid in the immediate future. I think that they will look at bringing the diesel by itself, and then eventually they will respond to the marketplace, just as Toyota has. I mean, Toyota has just recently announced a $104,000, 389-horsepower hybrid that gets 21 miles per gallon. I think it's the wrong message, but it's the message that American consumers are sending to the marketplace.
Especially the ones that drive a Lexus.
That's the ones that drive a Lexus.
Yes,
that are, yeah. Toyota-produced Lexus. It's 21 miles per gallon, as we heard earlier from Tom, getting 24 in his V8 rear-wheel drive. We need to continue to send the correct message to the manufacturers that fuel efficiency is what reduces our oil dependency. And the environmental difference between the Jetta and the Prius, Steve, if you look on greenercars.com, the Jetta is on the bottom of the list and the Prius is towards the top of the list. So there's a big difference in environmental sensitivity between those two vehicles, even though for fuel efficiency they're quite similar.
Oh. Good point as well. Thanks, Steve, for calling. Appreciate it. I want to give Paul and Nina a chance to get in. Paul, hi to you.
Hi. Thanks very much for covering this issue.
Sure.
One quick comment and one question. Comment, you guys have talked quite a bit about what people own. I own a 96 Accord that gets about 32 miles to the gallon highway, and I love it. I wouldn't trade it for the world until maybe just a clean-burning diesel comes out. But also, I was wondering, in terms of these plug-in electric cars, what is the impact financially and carbon-wise with, in comparison to there's a coal-burning power plant somewhere generating that electricity? Are there any numbers on where it stands in terms of, is there a difference between just burning the gasoline by the car itself if you didn't have it, or to plugging it in and using that kind of electricity?
Okay. Let's go to Chris. Chris, go ahead.
Great question, Paul. And yes, as we move towards full electric vehicles like the neighborhood electric vehicles that we're representing, we get questions like that quite regularly. And I don't have any specific data, Paul, that I can share with you or even a source that provides that information. I like to look at it a little bit maybe too simplistic, and that is when I am speaking to sixth graders on this issue, and they raise a question like that, I say to them, if you were going to study, through college so that you could be involved with the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, would it be easier for you to keep track of one, albeit giant smokestack, or chase around a million tailpipes? And as Eric and John would tell you, cars that have been on the road for 10 years are not as environmentally sensitive as they were in their first year. And so these tailpipes are out there not doing the job that they were designed to do, 10 and 15 years later, whereas new technology, new scrubbing technology, and then, what the industry is calling clean coal, and then as more and more pressure is put on electrical manufacturers to go towards renewable systems like wind, solar, hydroelectric, biomass, biogas, then more of our electrical energy can be produced on a renewable and sustainable basis. So it's a great question. Someone probably has the answer out there. Maybe they're listening to WPR and they'll bring that data to the Hybrid Fest in Madison this weekend.
Eric, you had a comment that you wanted to make. Eric Powers.
Yeah, I did want to say that one of the speakers who's there, Sherry Boschert, is an author about plug-in hybrid electric vehicles, and she'll actually be doing two separate talks, one on Saturday, one on Sunday. Plus, she'll have her own booth there. So this is a great question to actually just go up right to the author, someone who is an expert specifically on these plug-in hybrid electric vehicles, and talk with her about her book, and I'm sure she'll have the data there.
And I should mention, too, I mentioned earlier that you had a website for Hybrid Fest, and people are going to want to take a look to see, and I assume you've got the times of talks and things like that on it.
Yep, we've got a full schedule at hybridfest.com, information about the speakers as well as times. Again, it's 10 to 5 on Saturday, noon to 5 on Sunday.
Thanks again, Paul, for calling. So hybridfest.com, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Gary in Verona, it's your turn. Hi, Gary.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have two questions, I guess. Batteries don't last forever. I'm wondering about the cost of batteries when you have to replace them. And then if the world was all hybrid, do we have a battery disposal issue? What becomes of old batteries?
Oh, good.
And I'll take my comments off the air.
All right, thanks. Let's turn to John Dolan first here.
The way Toyota handles that situation is every nickel metal hydride battery on our hybrids has a 1-800 number printed right on it. Toyota will pay, I believe it's a $500 bounty on this battery. They will pick it up. They will extract the nickel from the battery, which is, of course, a valuable metal, and recycle it.
And in terms of replacement, how long do you go?
Toyota's own lab tests and on-the-road tests show the batteries lasting 185,000 miles of charges and discharges. They feel that the battery is a lifetime part of the vehicle.
Okay. Go ahead, Eric.
And I don't think, I think we all agree that hybrid cars are not the only answer. We'll never have a time when we'll have all hybrids. And Hybrid Fest is about that, too. There's lots of different technologies. We need to talk about them all. There isn't one single magic bullet. Chris had mentioned, the Hondas have compressed natural gas. We're looking at, they have the diesels. And there's going to be a lot of neighborhood electric vehicles. There's going to be lots of other options out there. So we'll never be the place where it's only hybrids.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Chris, did you want to say something, too? I'm sorry.
I think most of the issues were covered there, but I think that there's a lot of information about the longevity of the nickel metal hydride batteries. We have two people here in La Crosse with over 200,000 miles on their insights. I just replaced the fifth insight. I had driven to 100,000. The batteries, the battery warranty was extended to 10-year, 150,000 miles on most Honda Insights throughout the entire country. So the warranties are there to help people understand that it won't be a cost issue for them. Honda will charge us as a dealer $3,000 if we're not providing a core to replace the new set of batteries that would go into it if there was failure. So certainly there has been failures. There's no question about the fact that there will be failures on the batteries. But to date, I have never heard of an electric motor being replaced by either Honda or Toyota. Have you, John?
No. And like you said, there have been batteries that have failed, but the ones that we've seen as failures are due to manufacturing defects, not from day-to-day use.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, everything is going to be there for you to see at Hybrid Fest, so I hope you'll join the rest of us and take a trip out to the Dane County Fair this Saturday and Sunday for Hybrid Fest, along with all the other things that go on at a fair. You'll be able to see and talk with a lot of experts. And again, hybridfest.com is the right place to go for some more information on it.
That's correct.
Thanks very much to our guest today, Eric Powers, president of Hybrid Fest. Again, it's this Saturday and Sunday, July 21st and 22nd, as part of the Dane County Fair. John Dolan, hybrid expert, he'll be there.
Yes.
Yeah, he'll be there at Smart Motors, a Toyota dealership. And Chris Schneider, thanks, Chris. You'll be there from representing Honda Motor Works of La Crosse.
Absolutely.
Thank you all for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having us.
Coming up, we're going to be taking a look at airfare and making the best airfare purchasing decisions. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.